This is Jason Marsden, voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You're listening to What's on Joe Mind. Hey, Chuck, while you're at it, why don't you go find where Snake Eyes is, please?
Welcome to episode 58 of What's on Joe Mind. We're a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. We're now T-minus 22 days until New Orleans, T-minus 65 days until Canadian JoeCon, 94 days to GrowCon, and 296 days until Retaliation. Hello again, everybody. I'm Gary. Joining me, as always, is our showrunner, Chuck. Chuck, what fun do you have planned for us tonight?
Nothing much, but I know you guys got stuff planned, so once again, I'll just have to, you know, sit in my corner and cry. You know, if it was a public school, you'll all be thrown in jail for bullying.
Does anyone feel sorry for Chuck?
Oh, not in the least.
No. Why don't you go screw a buffalo there, Justin?
Screw a buffalo!
Further west, Justin prefers bears.
No buffalo up here, man.
If you feel sorry for Chuck, email us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com.
I can already foresee how many emails we're going to get.
Continuing our action news coverage of a fandom in crisis.
The world in crisis.
Is our news hound, Beachhead Mike. Mike, long time no talk.
It's been 18 hours or so. Yeah.
Give or take, yes.
I swear to God, Gary, I talk to you more now than I did when I lived in Indianapolis.
Well, distance brings us closer together.
I'm going to make sure that Justin sits between us at the convention at all times.
That doesn't stop Justin.
Justin is his own set of problems, but we'll deal with that later.
I got two hands, one for each of you.
Hey, he's the admin of GeneralJoes.com and John Chu's personal pen pal. It's Justin.
Hey, what's going on, Gary? How you doing?
How you doing, man?
Doing all right. I'm doing good.
Mr. Scooping the fandom.
Yeah, yesterday was pretty exciting. It was a fun time talking a little bit with John Chu about getting some Retaliation scoops out there, which was pretty cool. We'll have to see how accurate his intel was in March. It was fun to kind of talk back and forth and shoot the shit a little bit about the movie.
It's good. I'm glad that he's still willing to talk about it after all this. And like I said before, we don't question what him and the folks that he works with, their effort on the movie at all.
Right, yeah. And it's kind of funny because part of what came out of that whole story was this idea that he somehow ordered the delay. It's been misquoted on a couple of different websites that he actually ordered the movie delay, which is really not true. Paramount surprised him like everybody else with asking for it to be pushed back. They just acquiesced to his wishes and pushed it back far enough so that if they were going to do 3D, they could do it right. So anybody who sees websites out there saying that John Chu's the one that ordered the movie to be delayed in the first place, that's incorrect. He was totally blindsided by it. He just Paramount to at least give him some time to do the 3D right, and they agreed to that. So he's working fine with them, working hand in hand with them, still working on the movie right now. He posted a picture to Twitter last night of him watching the ninja cliff fight scene. So
I saw that big tease. Joining us, we have two very special guests from the Moderately Geeky podcast, George Greeno. George, how are you?
Doing wonderful tonight. How are you doing, Gary?
George, it's such a pleasure to have you on the episode for the first time.
Why, thank you. It feels like I've been on here before. I don't know.
Well, your wife has been on here.
She's been on, yeah.
She did a swell job that episode. What did you say, Mike?
I would say so. I would say that her expanded fandom is worthy of, well, being better than yours.
I just say let's can Mike and Chuck and just bring those ladies back. We could just do that full time.
They won't talk to you, Justin. You're not around for special episodes.
You can me, but AIM's coming.
Excuse me? I think that was going to be disgusting, but thankfully we didn't hear much of it.
What?
That fuzzed out in unfortunate places. I need to go live tweet another apology.
Justin, if my wife said her name was John Chu, would you talk to her?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
All right.
Probably a little bit too much to make her uncomfortable.
Creepy.
Indeed.
Also joining us, the second member of the co-host quad there, and that would be Travis Weber. Travis, long time no talk to you as well.
Yes, hi. How are you doing?
We're doing great. How are you, Trav?
Hey, alive. Some days good. That's as good as you can be.
So what is exciting you these days in the fandom, Travis?
You know, it's been kind of weird. I've been kind of on the outside of the Joe world as life overtook and getting back into it. But I'm really looking forward to a lot of the new product we're seeing coming in and really looking forward to see what Hasbro will reveal at the convention. So hey, I think it's a weird but exciting time to be a Joe fan.
That's a definite positive spin on it, so props to you. Most people
aren't looking at it nearly as bright.
Well, when you're not in the midst of it all the time, I think you can take a little different perspective on it, I guess.
That's true. If you're not living the adventure, you might as well just go around for the ride. So.
That's right.
All right. So the reason why we have George and Travis on is we wanted to announce that we will be working with 3/4 of the Moderately Geeky podcast crew at JoeCon. And we're going to be kind of cooperating on broadcasting and podcasting efforts, trying to bring you the latest news, get some roundtables going, some open discussions and opinions of the show. George, what are you looking most forward to out of this particular JoeCon?
Well, I mean, as always, it's really seeing all my friends that I get to see maybe once a year. That's why I go year in, year out. This year is obviously going to be a little different with the goings on of the movie and Hasbro and everything. So it'll be a really interesting time. I'm looking forward to it. And like Travis said, it's a weird but exciting time to be a Joe fan. So I couldn't imagine going through all this without all my friends there. And it's going
to
be interesting.
While we have you guys on the show, we definitely want to let our listeners know about your guys' podcast. We've mentioned it a couple times here on the show. Mike does a really good job at sharing the love, don't you, Mike?
Yes, I do. I do think that I have some kind of a record.
Yes. Yes.
Sharing love.
For sharing a mention of both CartedHeroes.com and the Moderately Geeky podcast. So
now, Trav, Moderately Geeky originally was your baby, but the podcast is kind of a collaborative effort. Tell us about the podcast, and if we were to download it, what would we be listening to?
Sure, yeah. Moderately Geeky, we focus on the geekier side of life, as we like to tag it, but it's more looking at toys, comics, movies, video games, TV, basically anything that might appeal to that kind of geek culture that's out there today. We all met primarily with a love of G.I. Joe, which is what this podcast looks at. We had a lot of interest outside of just one fandom. It's been fun because we all come at things from a little different perspective and all have different interests, and we get to learn about different topics and subjects through each podcast. So we've actually recently been doing a lot of talking and interviews with small toy companies. We've interviewed people from October Toys, and George, help me out here. Who am I forgetting?
Fly Monkey, October yes. Toys. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Michael Norman from Go Native Toys, which if you guys haven't had him on yet, it'd be one I'd recommend. He makes the Blanks action figures.
Yes, actually, we did have him on, and he was a fantastic guest. I think Travis and I both pulled the trigger on the Blanks during the show.
They were a nice surprise. We got them in the mail. They were a 3 3/4 size blank customizable action figure, but it's O-ring construction, but it's got all the modern articulation points on the really? Limbs. And so it's really a nifty constructed figure that's great for customizing. So,
and it should be pointed out that our sponsor, Kokomo Toys, has ordered some for their store available to anybody that wishes to order from them.
Yep, good stuff. I guess in a nutshell, what you get there, a little news, a little BS, and four guys talking about stuff they probably have no business talking about.
I think I can start, like, the softball question is, how did you guys get started collecting? I mean, was it something that since day one as a little Travis or a little George, you just carried on through? Was there a break, you know, when you were a teenager, like most of us, or did you come to it later in life?
Give us your entire life story, essentially. Go.
Well, George is still little.
Yeah. It's true. That's yeah.
Well, I was born a young black man. Now, George, go ahead. You go first.
No, I kind of want you to continue with that.
No, I think I was like most people. I grew up in the 80s and had all the great toy lines. Started off on He-Man and then was weaned into G.I. Joe and Transformers, and Legos were a big part of the childhood. And then Nintendo hit and toys kind of went by the wayside. And then in college, I suppose it's actually G.I. Joe that got me back into toy collecting, was when around 2000 when Toys R Us was re-releasing some of the old molds from the 80s. I specifically remember getting some of the 2-packs, the Law and Order one with the
Real Dust American Hero collection.
Yes, those really brought back a love for it. And then Devil's Due with the renewed comic book, that actually got me back into comic books at that point also, and that led me to the online forums, the old Devil's Due Press, and then Savage's Joint. Remember the brief stint at ROC and then JBL and all through that stuff. That kind of got me back into toy collecting, and I picked up customizing the Joe figures somewhere in that realm, and that kind of picked up and went, and as that obsession grew through Valor versus Venom and all the new sculpt stuff, I started picking up the occasional Transformer, and then that led to superhero figures, and that led to Legos again, and that led to what me and George call the Japanese plastic crack addiction, and that's kind of what led us to this point, I guess, or me anyways.
I was a child of the 80s, like all of you guys, except for Justin, since he's so old. But,
Justin's eternal childhood carries on to this day.
Yeah, it's creepy.
He has lived for eons, probably luring children into a windowless white van.
Where are we going with this?
Where are we going with this, Justin? It's time to get help, Justin.
Grew up on G.I. Joe. That was probably pretty much my bread and butter. Had a lot of Legos, too. Those are my two main lines. Teenage years, kind of got out of it a little bit, but still managed to somehow keep it going. Pretty much right before, I guess, before college, I kind of got out of it entirely until, like Travis, you had the G.I. Joe line return in the early 2000s and got heavily into that. Also, the Japanese plastic crack addiction started then with the whole Gundam phase that kind of came about then. So I went through that and got out of college, moved up to D.C., and that's when I started getting involved in a lot of the online forums. I think mostly it was ADC, which is what TNI is now. And 2004 was my first JoeCon, so really haven't looked back since. So,
what prompted you guys to start off the podcast?
Jay. Yeah, Jay was actually the brainchild behind it, I think. He felt like he wanted to do something that involved multiple fandoms or interests beyond just one fandom. I initially started up the Moderately Geeky site back in early 2010 with the same type of intention. It wasn't a podcast, so it was more of a forum and chat vehicle more than anything. And suffice to say, I didn't stay with it very long. But when Jay had this idea, I still had that name. Let's use that and go with it and just turn it into a straight podcast. And so I guess he contacted Jason and George, and I think he talked with you guys probably before even me. I think I was a little later into the game coming on.
Truth be told, we were given enough airtime to satisfy his ego, so that's why he formed your podcast.
Well, I was trying to be nice to him. But,
okay.
Screw him. He's not here.
He's playing volleyball.
He has volleyball. So while the podcast may have been Jay's idea, Jay, he's a semi-regular with us. He helps us out on occasion. What was the draw for it for you guys personally? What are you trying to get? What do you want to get out of being on the podcast, the Moderately Geeky podcast?
Well, money and vengeance. Isn't that motivation for everything?
I mean, besides money and vengeance, vengeance are assumed.
I guess I'll feel that for me. A lot of it stems out from the old JBL chat rooms. I really got addicted to that, I guess, for a couple years, and just that idea of getting together and being able to chat with a bunch of people. And this is pre-Skype being very prominent, and I think there was a good group of probably a dozen of us that'd be in there 5 out of 7 nights a week just BSing about whatever.
I remember that, yeah. There was this one dude named General Hawk that never showed up.
Oh, I know. It's like a ghost.
The mystery is more interesting than the man.
For me, that was a large incentive for it. Like I said, I'd kind of fallen away out of the fandom a little bit, running a business, moving, buying a house, having a kid. You know, that thing, life just kind of piles up. And so I thought, oh, this is kind of a good way to get back with some of the guys that I knew and find out what's going on, just be active and involved again now that life is kind of structuring itself once again. So for me, that was the primary attraction, the ability to talk about stuff I like with other people.
That's the same with me. Obviously, we're huge G.I. Joe fans, but sometimes we need a little other outlet, other lines, and it's good to take a step back from the line we love a lot and take a look at some other ones and how they're being handled, how the property's handled, and everything else. So it helps a lot to, at least for me, get a good understanding of the industry as a whole, too, as far as toys go. Of course, you branch out into the movies and video games and everything, but it just gives you a little bit of perspective, I guess, so.
All right. Well, you guys sufficiently warmed up? Are we ready to get the rest of the show on the road here?
Absolutely. I was kind of falling asleep in the middle there. So
Justin's like answering for them. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Screw what you guys have to say. I'm ready to roll
there's
now.
There's no guests on the program or anything. We don't need any. Don't need to hear from them.
That's your cue to get the answer.
See, they're not talking, so I might as well talk.
I know.
Them,
right? It's like rookies. Are you ready to roll on to the rest of the show?
We are ready.
Sure. Here you go.
Are you ready to rock?
Hey.
Oh, I thought that was Chuck for a second until I saw Mike's icon light up. So I'm like, Chuck, shut up. Oh, Mike, shut up.
It was a little Chuckish. I was hoping Chuck would enjoy that.
None of the rest of us did, that's for sure.
It's not for you.
On to the mailbag. Mike, what language are we speaking tonight?
Oh, hell, we got a new language? Let me find one.
No matter what it is, Sack's got to be in there somewhere.
That's the one theme.
Sac postal. Sac postal. Sac postal. That is French for mailbag.
If you guys don't mind, field 2.5 questions for a JoeCon newbie. The only name we have is one of Justin's regular posters. It's 788 versus your name here. You're familiar with this poster, right, Justin?
Oh, of course, yes.
Yes.
Justin's going to give him a wedgie at the con. He said so before the show.
Hey, I know cash is king when it comes to the dealer tables, but what about the con extras? And by that I mean akin to last year's moccasin and stinger. Can you pay with plastic for those? Justin, go ahead, knock this one out of the park.
Yeah, you can pay plastic for anything, actually, at the con. You don't have to use cash even for the main set. You can pay plastic anywhere. It just depends on what line you want to wait in. Sometimes the cash line is quicker, especially in 2004 in Orlando when the freaking credit card machines broke down and people were in line until almost midnight. That was
You remember that, don't you, George?
Oh, yeah. That was my first con, too.
That was your first con? That's yeah, way to get it broken entry. In.
You're still coming back. That speaks volumes, George. That's good.
It's like abusive spouse, so... Keep coming back for more.
That's right. You can use cash or charge at any time, whether it's box set or whatever. What I tend to do is kind of have both at the ready and stand back and kind of look at what line looks more threatening and then decide from there.
So did any of you do like I did and like every year you get the wrong line?
Yeah. I'm going to do credit this year and then...
Damn it.
You basically want to figure out what line Justin is in and get in the other one.
Come on, man. I just cut my way up to the front.
That's right. Well, I'm Justin Bell.
I'm Justin Bell. Just get out of my way.
He is Justin f***ing Bell.
That's right.
Once again, bleeping is f***ing funny.
You can also pay with traveler's checks if you want to go that route. Mike, once again, if I wish to pay with a credit card, should I be concerned about the club's troubles earlier in the year?
No, not at all, because this doesn't involve their software app in the least. It's just point of sale. Those machines... They're hardwired basically to communicate directly with Visa, MasterCard, American Express, what have you.
So are you saying it's no different than if I were to use my credit card at, say, Target?
It is exactly the same thing, Gary. Exactly the same thing.
Okay.
If your numbers get swiped by that, then we have bigger problems than your card. Like the entire economy coming to a grinding halt. So suck it up, soldier.
You realize that someone's going to try to use their Target card now, right?
Yeah.
Well, if they heard it here...
On What's On Joe Mind said it was okay.
I'm supposed to get 5%?
Well, they make a Target Visa card. It has the Visa logo. It should be fine.
I'm talking about the regular one.
The store card. Yes.
The red card.
Red card, yeah.
Way to kill the joke, Chuck. Good job.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck.
Yeah, too. You can go scratch.
On your show, guys, which one of you is Chuck?
Jay.
Okay, that was where my money was. My money was on Jay, so.
Just for reference, if you bought one of everything last year, including the dial tone figure, it was $207, just to give you an idea of what it might be this year. This is on top of the box set, of course, and that is one of everything, and it could be more, it could be less. I don't know, I'm just saying that's what it was last year.
When you're in New Orleans, just make sure you bring a lot of ones, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Wait, what are you going to do for us, Justin?
I got a huge thong, man. I got a huge thong.
Those ones are going to keep him off of the broadcast app.
For Justin, you need at least a couple 20s.
It depends what you want me to do.
Yeah, that's when Chuck takes him back to the champagne room.
Sock postal.
What's going on? There's email?
Yeah, there's email.
We needed to just start over at that point.
When it comes to picking up the OG sets, I read that I will be emailed a pickup schedule. Is that the only time I'll have to pick up my booty? How much time is allowed for such a glorious event? Thanks, guys. Sucks being a virgin. 788 versus your name here. I'll go ahead and field the first part of this one. But typically, I volunteer for the club every year, and Justin has done this too. We've worked the line. And what the club has done to prevent the onslaught of what we saw in 2004 and then other years, 2004 is just kind of the perfect storm, but there's been other years where it's been an awfully long wait, is you'll get an invoice sent to your house. It's snail mail, and it will say you paid and everything, and you want to keep this documentation. Put it right into your bag that you're going to pack and everything. Bring it with you, among everything else that they tell you to bring. And then you're going to have a colored form in there as well. In the past, it's been green, it's been blue, it's been yellow. And that form will tell you if you're part of the early group or the late group. And I think that pretty much boils down to how quick you also registered. If you were a quick registration person, you're probably going to be in the early group. If you waited a couple days, you're probably going to be in a late group. Now, this begs the next question everyone asks. Is there stuff going to be available in the club store? I did the math for last year's scenario where you had 53 3/4 inch collectors as golden tickets. And if they were to purchase the limit, there would still be enough for one of everything for everyone remaining in the paid attendee 3 3/4 line. So I do not see everything being evaporated from the store that quick. So do not sweat. If you're part of the late group, they'll tell you what time to be there. Just show up promptly. Most of the time, the line's going to be short by that time. Wouldn't you say, Justin? So it's pretty much walk up.
Yeah, depending on when you're doing. If you're talking about Thursday night and you're waiting till a little bit later in the night, yeah, you'll be able to walk up and get what you want. Generally, things, when they've been selling out, have been selling out usually by, what, Friday, Saturday?
Friday at the earliest, Saturday at the latest lately.
Yeah. So you'll want to think about getting in line Thursday night. But yeah, like Gary said, if you wait until 8:30, something like that, the line's usually trimmed down quite a bit and get in there and get out.
The key part here is every piece of documentation that you get from a club, whether it be the invoice you print out when you're registered, you get the invoice sent to you in snail mail, everything, hold on to it. Bring it with you. You want that. And also you want to bring your ID that night as well, because they'll be checking IDs. Bring that and everything else and all your paperwork, and you should be good to go.
Let's say it's like I'm supposed to pick up Thursday night, but disaster happens. I can't get there till Saturday. Will I still be able to pick up my convention set on Saturday, even though I was supposed to pick it up on Thursday?
Absolutely. Your convention set is reserved. If you got the invoice that you got at registration and they gave you an invoice in the mail and you see all your credit card payment is cleared through the bank and everything, you are absolutely guaranteed your 15-figure set. And that's your 15-figure set and your attendee exclusive item. Now, if you arrive late on a Saturday, there might not be anything left in the store. You're not guaranteed anything from the store. So that's the only downside, that if you should show up late, yes, your box set, which you paid $345 for, will be there. But you know, might not be anything left in the store. All right, that does the mailbag. And we are off to a quick intermission. I'm waiting for Mike.
Yeah, no kidding, Mike. Way to be on the ball there. Still waiting for Mike. Mike?
I was muted.
It was the greatest air horn ever. We'll be right back.
Oh, my God. Podcasting professionals right here.
You can join Joe collectors from all over Canada and the United States at the 10th Annual Canadian JoeCon, Canada's largest G.I. Joe convention. Join a deep roster of guests, including Hasbro Canada, Robert Atkins, Mark Belomo, and Jason Liu on August 10th and 11th at the Toronto Airport Sheridan. Experience Canada's largest Joe dealer room. Meet the guests at roundtables. Get a chance to own the rare and highly sought-after convention exclusives and network with other collectors. For more information about the Canadian Joe Convention, check them out at CanadianJoeCon.com. Like them on Facebook or follow them on Twitter today. Americans, dig out your passports and everyone book your rooms now. What's on Joe Mind is the official podcast of the 2012 Canadian JoeCon.
This portion of What's on Joe Mine is brought to you by Kokomo Toys. Find one of the largest selections of G.I. Joe anywhere in the Midwest, from vintage Joes to the latest straight from Hasbro. They're independently owned and operated. Visit their store in Kokomo, Indiana, or online at KokomoToys.com today. Here's how you can contact the show. Email us at whatsonjoemine@gmail.com. Text or leave us a voicemail at 262-515-9656. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemine. Visit our homepage at whatsonjoemine.podbean.com, where you find links to our social networking profiles and active community forum threads. Got an Apple device? Go to the iTunes store and subscribe to the show. Hear us on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher works on Apple, BlackBerry, WebOS, and Android devices. Download the app for free at Stitcher.com or at your mobile app store. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's on Joe Mind, together, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. Find our podcast mirrored every week at InsidePulse.com. InsidePulse is a pop culture mega site covering movies, music, sports, games, and more. Check out the Pulse of Pop Culture at InsidePulse.com. We're part of the GeekCast Radio Network. GeekCast Radio Network features multiple podcasts featuring Transformers, cartoons, movies, television, general geek topics, and interviews with many famous voice actors from your favorite shows. So go there now and unleash the geek in you and tell them how much you enjoy What's on Joe Mind. And now a few words from our partner podcasts.
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey! Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFG1 Mike, Pecan Court Michael, and the Cybertronian correspondent Optimus Solo move on to Transformers Animated with Transformation Animation Podcast. 20 episodes covering all three seasons of the cartoon, the books, and the awesome toy line. We'll also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped with GCRN's next Transformers franchise podcast, Transformation Animation Podcast, available on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Get your tap on.
Decepticons, transform and rise up.
Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, geekcastradio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the Telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on geekcastradio.com.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. The GeekCast Radio Network has launched Masked Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Masked Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one and longest running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. And we, hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we, okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the GeekCast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Welcome back. The second half of What's on Joe Mind is brought to you by JoeArmory.com. Joe Armory is a proud sponsor of What's on Joe Mind. Stop on by JoeArmory.com to experience the internet's largest inventory for all things G.I. Joe, from 12-inch to 3¾ and everything in between. Joe Armory is your source.
And now, on to the news with Beachhead Mike.
Gathering the best G.I. Joe news from all points around the fandom and community, it's the weekly What's on Joe Mind News Desk with your host and anchor, Beachhead Mike.
A fandom in crisis.
The world in crisis.
I just want to do that show off for George Trans.
I'm impressive.
I'm very impressive.
This is week two of a fandom in crisis, isn't it?
Their world in crisis.
I guess, technically, we're really not so much in crisis anymore.
But the news never is really that good, is it?
Well, I mean, you know, it's the news, so we got to get ratings in a sensational fashion. That's what we do here.
And the world is in crisis.
Their world in crisis.
Yes.
The world is always in crisis.
The world.
If you listen to Joe fans, the world is always
in always crisis. In crisis.
Our first item is that there is, in fact, no recall for the Dollar General store figures.
That is correct.
I think we called that one, guys.
We kind of did, yeah. We kind of suspected that maybe things were being a little overblown with that. And sure enough, guy who originally reported it, a poster on Joe Customs, and then Rescuer came back on in the same thread and said, nope, a little bit of an overreaction. There were some damaged packages on the pallet, and it was the pallet of damaged items that were recalled. It was not anything to do with the actual Dollar General G.I. Joe figures themselves. So crisis averted on that one. There's one thing off of the fandom in crisis table. We put that on the back burner.
Their world in crisis.
Good for Rescuer for coming back to set the record straight on that one. We'll give him some props there.
Absolutely.
Stand up.
The second news item, Robert Atkins is confirmed drawing the cover for the Canadian Joe-Con comic. That's right. The Canadian Joe Convention exclusive comic will have the cover drawn by none other than Mr. Robert Atkins. If you ask nice, he may even do it specially permanent for you. No, probably not. He's probably going to do what they want him to draw. But that's still very cool to have a convention exclusive drawn by the current reigning G.I. Joe artist.
He also is taking commissions that can be delivered at that time. So if you're interested for a Robert Atkins original, be sure to hit up his blog, and we'll put in the show notes here. Put in your request, get some pricing from him. If you plan on attending the Canadian Joe Con, you can pick it up there. Don't forget, What's on Joe Mine is the official podcast of the Canadian Joe Con.
I'm pretty sure the internal pages are probably still done by Jason Liu. He's just doing the cover.
And I tell you, we're two bullet points in. We don't have a lot of crisis. There's not a lot of crisis going on.
Their world in crisis.
Well, here's your first crisis.
That's encouraging. Oh, no! It's fandom in crisis! A fandom in crisis.
Their world in crisis.
The world in crisis.
But yes, we have confirmation that G.I. Joe Retaliation figures and toys will not be shipped past Wave 1.
Come on, man!
No sooner did we press stop on this podcast last week than that news came out.
Yeah, we...
And Hasbro.
That's going to end up on the soundboard.
I think, did it magically put itself there?
I think it automatically did. It just all of a sudden ended up on the soundboard.
Gary hits the F12 key, and that's what comes out now.
But, Mike, you actually called your shot. You said this might change in the next day or so as they know that we record on Tuesdays.
This is what they do. They're trying to stay one step ahead of what's on Joe Mind, but our keen retail instincts know better. I will not be denied.
Would you like to toss this one around the horn and get some other thoughts from some of the other hosts and guests?
Why don't we go ahead and toss this one around the horn? Let's go to the guest table. They've been kind of quiet lately. Travis, George, what do you guys have?
I feel like we're at the kids' table or something at Thanksgiving.
And it's the same thing.
Okay,
that's green room refinements, but yeah, I guess not.
Well, I mean, Chuck will be doing his dance of 1,000 fans for you later on, but that was expressly in the contract as being after the show.
I don't know. I guess it's to be expected after the news came that the movie was going down, but I'll be sorry. After picking up a few of the toys, I was pleasantly surprised by them. They're good-looking sculpts. Hopefully the Wave 2 and 3 will see the light of day.
Obviously, I'm a huge Hasbro apologist because I like this stuff, apparently, but it is a little sad. I was kind of hoping that...
You're not allowed to like this stuff, George.
I was kind of hoping that Wave 2 would find its way out a little bit.
I'm right there with you, George.
I thought I was going to hate this stuff, and I know I've said it on Moderately Geeky that I was really disappointed, especially with the Cobra Trooper, but picking some more of it up, it started to grow on me. It has really good playability. Yeah, I really like it. I guess it's good kind of withholding this... the gratification of getting the Wave 2, and so it builds a little excitement when it hits in January, February, whenever. But yeah, I understand why they're doing it.
If there's no movie to promote, it's kind of silly to put out figures, isn't it?
Yeah.
I got to say, yeah, Wave 2 was really where I was starting to get excited about what was coming. Red Ninja's better than I thought it was going to be. The Joe Soldier's better than I thought it was going to be. I've got Zartan. I really like him. I'm really digging the Ninja Dojo 3-pack, actually. But Wave 2, that was where the roadblock that I wanted was and the Snake Eyes that I wanted was. And
really cool.
So I was really pretty fired up for that.
Oh, yeah.
Firefly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there was all kinds of stuff in Wave 2 that I was really hoping we might sneak out. Maybe they would get that shipped. Maybe they were a little too far along in the process. But unfortunately, that was not the case.
There's two ways to look at it. Number one is, yeah, being disappointed because from the looks of it, all we're going to see in 2012 is Wave 1, which is probably not the strongest assortment that we've seen from G.I. Joe Retaliation, also not the most movie accurate stuff that's out there. But a good way to look at it is, you know, looking forward to 2013, pretty much right off the bat, whenever things start getting released, it's pretty much going to be really, really good stuff. You know, you've got the movie accurate Roadblock, Snake Eyes, Firefly, and, you know, Flint, and as the other guys mentioned, and, you know, Wave 3, you got that great repainted Alley Viper, you got the Cyber Viper slash Wraith kind of redo, you've got Lady J, you got Colton, yeah, you got the Blind Master and Jinx in Wave 4, you know, there's all sorts of really cool stuff in future waves that we're going to get hammered on pretty much right out of the gate in 2013, so while that does definitely sting for 2012, as Joe fans, it's not like we haven't been there before. I mean, we've had six-month hiatuses. It seems like more often than we've had regular retail releases, we've had hiatuses over the last few years, so it's par for the course, kind of.
Real quick, Justin, question for you. I know Chuck's wanted to ask a question because I heard his mic pop. Those last two waves, 4 and 5, only have 2 figures in them. Do you think they're going to be backfilled with figures from waves 2 and 3, or they might actually be some surprises we don't know about yet that are going to be in those later two waves?
I would hazard a guess that there's some stuff that we haven't seen yet that was meant for some of those later waves. I think it'd be very, very unusual that both Wave 4 and 5 only have a couple figures in them each. So I think there's probably stuff that they didn't reveal at Toy Fair that maybe they're still going to reveal at JoeCon. So I think, I know people assuming that because there's no more toys coming out in 2012, we're not going to see anything new at JoeCon. I think those folks might be surprised. We'll probably see some Retaliation stuff that we hadn't seen yet. Maybe some fillers for Wave 4 and 5, probably the second wave of 3-packs maybe. So I think there's still some Retaliation era stuff that we have not yet seen, and I think we'll probably see a lot of that stuff in New Orleans. And then some of that stuff will be Waves 4 and 5 fillers, I have a feeling.
Yeah, Justin, I just wanted to touch upon something we talked about last week, and that was that even though Wave 1 is being released now, in 2013 we were speculating that's when they'll release the figures, they're not going to start with Wave 2, they'll start with Wave 1 again.
Right, I think they will, but I think they'll probably release them in spurts. I think we'll get, not necessarily on top of each other, but I don't think they're going to release Wave 1 and then wait 2 or 3 months, release Wave 2, and so on and so forth. I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of spew out a bunch of waves at once at the beginning of the year, try to get that product out on shelves in time for the movie.
That's
and also
going to be a fun time if that's the case.
Exactly. They had product probably already planned for 2013, so they're going to want to get the backlog product out at retail so they can...
Well, we know Wave 2 is packaged.
Correct, yes. And we know it was in the production process because some folks have already gotten samples from Asia. So.
Yeah, yeah. Next news item.
Next news item. We have more news? Holy crap, I got to get on this.
Backpost. Come on,
yes.
Mike. Backpost.
Postal.
Okay.
Postal. Damn. You're going to New Orleans and you can't even handle mailbag and
print? I mean, Quebec is like an hour north of him. Jesus.
I mean, I think Quebec actually runs New Hampshire. Nobody notices. All the street signs give you metric distances. He doesn't care. Anyways, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has said that promotion for Retaliation may conflict with promotion for WrestleMania. You know, I think this is a news item that we need to turn over to our own wrestling superstar, the Chuck Dog himself.
Well, this came from doing a little Twitter Q&A. It's interesting that he says this because it can start to give us some idea where his focus will be in terms of promotion. I mean, this is good for us that it does seem that he is committed to promoting Retaliation. It is sort of interesting because there has been early speculation that he would be wrestling a match involving Brock Lesnar where the world title would be involved, or he would be wrestling in another match, but the world title would still be involved. So how that's going to work out, it's hard to tell. There's been some other things going on in wrestling that long-term game plan, this might have some effect on it in terms of what he's actually doing. But like I said, I think this is good that he's already thinking ahead and is, as of right now, committed to promoting Retaliation.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually throw that on top of this. I love the energy that Dwayne Johnson's putting into selling this movie. Still.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, this guy is just laying it out there for G.I. Joe Retaliation. If you're not getting excited watching this guy get excited, then not a whole lot of help for you.
All things considered.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a guy who probably knows more about what's going on than we do, and he's still out there smiling. And granted, he's getting paid millions of dollars to go out and smile, but we've seen plenty of times where stars get caught up in circumstances like this, and they've already moved on to their next check, and they don't care about what happened before. But man, The Rock is selling out hard for this movie. That's just good to see. It's nice that he really believes in this, because this is a guy who knows good action movies.
Justin.
Yes.
On a kind of a related note, when we're talking about stars in the movie that should kind of know what's going on, what about Tatum knowing absolutely nothing when he was asked about it in line at the MTV or the Movie Awards?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I have a feeling, I mean, we heard rumors that they had actually shown two different endings at the early screenings and kind of got judgments on both of them. I'm assuming they've already shot the footage required to expand Tatum's role. I don't think he's going to end up being a big headliner or anything. I don't think they're going to re-release Retaliation in March and all of a sudden it's the Duke and Roadblock show. I think Duke's probably only going to have still a limited appearance, but they're going to make it obvious that he's not dead. He somehow survived the assault. But yeah, Tatum's responses are always interesting.
I did everything they asked me to do.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what the studio and what's the industry and whatever. You know, it's pretty obvious that, number one, his stock has obviously risen quite high since 2009. He's gotten a lot of pretty big, high-profile roles. He probably doesn't see himself having much of a future in the G.I. Joe franchise, forgetting the fact that Rise of Cobra kind of got his name on the scene to begin with. I'm sure he kind of finds himself a little bit above that at this point, so he's probably not all that interested in investing a whole lot of time and energy into the property regardless, so I think he's just kind of going to surf it out and do what he absolutely has to do and not a whole lot more, and if they can get by without bringing him back for any reshoots, I'm sure they will. There was actually rumors a few months ago that he'd gone back to New Orleans for reshoots, and a lot of rumors surrounding that whole event was that they were already reshooting scenes to kind of bring him back to life in case that was something they wanted to do. See, I don't think they necessarily need him to do any more shooting, but his off-the-cuff response was kind of a little cheesy.
That's kind of what I was commenting about. It just, okay.
Yeah, kind of rang of the whole, you know, the worst thing you hate in corporate America is when you ask somebody for a favor and they say, that's not my job description. And that's kind of the vibe I got.
Yeah, exactly. How am I supposed to know? It's not my gig. You know, I'm doing my bit. Yeah. Next news item.
More news? I did that joke like three times already. I'm gonna stop with that now. Apparently there have been some thoughts of Paramount and director John Chu being at odds over the release of the movie being pushed back. Our very own man with the scoop, Mr. Justin Bell, scored an exclusive with Mr. Chu just in a series of messages that is not the case.
Yeah, it's true. HitFix came out with a rumor that they had heard John Chu and Paramount were kind of at odds with each other and were maybe even in a legal battle to try to get him either divided from the film or, you know, for them to go forward with reshoots without him. I just kind of reached out to him via Twitter and told him that information was out there and that I posted a story about it, and he actually reached back to me to kind of fill me in a little bit about what was going on, that him and Paramount actually are working very well together, kind of as added proof that he was still in their good graces. He also tweeted a picture of him currently working on the ninja fighting cliff fight scene just to kind of prove that, yes, he's still there on set, still working. He tells me there's no contention. Obviously, there may be a little spin going on there. Who knows? Obviously, he's not going to come out and tell me that he's in a legal battle with Paramount. The vibe I got from him was that he's still deeply involved in production of the film. No contention. Things are going smoothly. Was disappointed, obviously, by the decision to change the date, but he at least had a little back and forth with Paramount, and Paramount agreed to give them enough time to do 3D the right way. That's part of why it's been pushed back quite so far. He's talking with them about hopefully getting some additional equipment so they can actually shoot some new scenes in true blue 3D that don't have to be post-converted to 3D. So that could add to some more pretty exciting true 3D scenes. And we got to remember, he's got a lot of experience in 3D. You know, the Justin Bieber movie that he worked on was filmed in all 3D, and he's got a lot of that 3D experience. So, you know, this could end up being a good thing down the road, getting the 3D in there, not only for box office returns, but maybe for a more enjoyable movie experience. And one thing he did want to make sure that I spread the word out about is that he's absolutely blown away by the response that he's been getting from the fans, and is very humbled and very happy with the way everybody is kind of excited and pulling for him. He says he's gotten a lot of encouraging messages over the last couple of weeks since the move was announced. He feels very privileged to kind of been involved in the fandom, no matter what kind of comes of this. He's very much in tune with what we've wanted and very much appreciates the positive feedback and positive response he's gotten to things. And it's been a great experience for him, and he's looking forward to see it through to March.
Well, he certainly did not have to do that with you, and if you didn't thank him enough, I want to thank him for reaching out and letting the fans know, because there was a period of silence that we were all wondering about him.
Yes, and that was kind of my gig. The first thing I did is I sent him a little message, and I just said, look, I know you can't comment on this, I know you don't want to comment on this, I'm just letting you know this is out there. And he came right back literally a matter of minutes later and says, oh yeah, that's, I don't know where all those rumors come from, it's not true, we're working great together. And we ended up talking back and forth for quite a while. Kind of surprised me and sent a message and said, hey, yeah, you know, go ahead and post it up. You've got the exclusive. Go for it. So I was very, very happy about that. And he cited a big reason for doing that is because of all the support that he's gotten from G.I. Joe fans and stuff. If we were going to get that word back out, he wanted to make sure the fandom was the one spreading that word and not some big global press site, because he knew we were the ones kind of really pulling for it and really hurting from all the information about it. So he knows there's been silence. You may not see him as active as he has been in the past, but he's still working hard on the film. So he's definitely still working on it, still excited about it. So hopefully we can maintain some excitement over the next 9 months.
Well, let's help that momentum. Justin, if I was a Twitter user, how would I follow John Chu?
You want to follow at John M. Chu. It's twitter.com/John M. Chu, or just if you're already on Twitter, it's at John M. Chu.
There you go. Share the love. Keep that momentum going.
Absolutely.
J-O-N, M as in Mary, C-H-U.
Correct.
Moving on to more JoeCon news. Looks like since the last time we broadcast, all 3¾-inch registration packages have been sold out. 12-inch packages are still available. Last time we broadcast, I believe it was non-attendee sets were sold out. Do we have an update as to attendee sets?
Everything is sold out. Bag sets, box sets, everything is sold out.
All right. Well, that sums it up pretty well.
Bad news if you're late to the party, if you kind of wanted to maybe tack on a bag set at a later date, or you're kind of waiting for some extra money to roll in maybe in the middle of the month. Because typically, Justin, in the past, you could always tack on a bag set, and it's never really a big deal. But no, that's kind of bad news, and if you acted early, well, early bird gets the worms. That's what happens.
I acted early, and I'm still waiting for my confirmation email.
Actually, I think it's pretty awesome that it's sold out. I know a lot of people were kind of PO'd about it, but I think it's pretty incredible. So kudos to the club for making a set that's sold out. Obviously, the fandom interest is getting pretty high, so I think it's a pretty positive sign.
What registration package did you get this year, George?
Yes.
Scalper.
I'm one of the spit that got the golden ticket, so that's my title now. I picked up the 3¾ set and the 12-inch, and I don't know if any of you guys saw this today, but the club posted some new pictures of the 12-inch set on Facebook, and one of the items they're including this year is a mod or an add-on that goes with last year's Dune Buggy set. It's kind of a winch rig system that mounts on the back frame of the Dune Buggy. I was kind of blown away by that. I really like the concept of doing something that kind of adds on to an already existing set. Something about that's just really appealing to me. I don't know what it is, but I thought it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, the way they're integrating those sets together is really cool.
And I'm loving the kind of tie-ins little by little, the tying in the 12-inch to the 3¾ universe. Joe versus, as it were, Gary. kind of tying those two together. I really like where they're going with it.
Gary.
Yes, I am.
I'm going to agree with George, too, in that, you know, if they're selling out 800 concepts this year, then chances are good next year. Maybe they'll make 1,000 concepts and then just give more people the opportunity. So long as it's profitable, why wouldn't you try to make more money? A lot of easy cash around from the quick sales on these, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I know it's popular in the fandom right now to kind of be a Monday morning quarterback and say, well, they should have done this, they should have done this. But this is the first time the set has sold out this quickly. And yeah, I guess they could have anticipated a little bit more demand with the October Guard, but
I think people are just overestimating the popularity of the October Guard a little bit. I mean, I know a lot of the long-term fans, especially the comic fans, really love the October Guard and kind of revolve around that. But for the more general G.I. Joe fans, they don't really know the October Guard all that well. So I don't think it's like they're doing a straight-up Sunbow set from 85 where it's really obvious they're going to have a lot of super popular characters. I think that's just kind of a crapshoot for them. They kind of took a chance on it. They hit a home run, and the club would love to have produced another 100 sets or 150 sets, so you know more people could have gotten them, and they could have made more money on it. Believe me, they would have loved that. They experiment every year. They try to use their best judgment on numbers every year. Some years it works out. Some years it doesn't. Some years you get what happened with the Headhunters a few years ago, where you know that was a set I was absolutely in love with, but it didn't sell all that well.
But that set was right in your wheelhouse. I mean, that was your favorite era of Joe right there.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'd have thought the Fuchsia Vipers would have been right up Justin's alley.
But yeah, I thought fans loved the Headhunters personally, but, you know, that didn't catch on like I thought it might have. So, yeah, they've got to kind of take a guess. And, yeah, now that they've gone to the modern era, maybe they've got to think about bumping things up in general a little bit more. But I guess time will tell. It's every year is an experiment, so...
Justin, you're right. I mean, it is kind of a pretty much a crapshoot for them because, as we know, the fandom in general is pretty fickle. It's hard to tell what they're going to like. They've done a good job as far as I'm concerned.
I think they're getting a better idea of what we don't like.
Well, there you go. Maybe that's easier.
Don't give me a modern era rehash or something that we've already done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's we've made that perfectly clear. Yeah.
That's one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think you're seeing a bit of speculator jump on this also. I mean, have you seen what the concept prices have been going for in some of the stuff lately?
Going to eBay right now.
I just sold off some of the 2009 Crimson set stuff, and it went for silly money. Silly money. From the club's perspective, that's all good. Like I said, you sell out your run of product, that's pure win. They hit a home run. Whether they can do it again, we'll see. I think they really touched on a thing this time out.
Are you ready for some insane prices, folks?
Let's hear it.
Hit me.
Hit you. Single figure, our buddy Shraj.
Shraj.
My name is Sales.
80.
Crap. Wow. Is that like a buy it now price?
That's a buy it now 80.
Or did something
that's a buy it now 80. Now, right below that, we still have some Mission Brazil trickled in there, and there's Claymore for 100. Altone at 75, Mainframe at 35, Sparta at 75, Iron Bear 80.
And rather than see opening bids, Gary, check and see if there's any completed auctions. We'll see what things have actually sold for lately.
I sold my stuff off back in March, and I had bag sets of the International Joes from the 2009 sets, and I sold the two-pack for $350 and the three-pack for $405.
God.
So I
can't find those anywhere.
Well, no. Part of it was scarcity, but you know who bought them was guys overseas. I sold two things to Australia and another one to Brazil. I don't know if maybe the October Guard theme may have a little more interest for international fans.
Well, it does for our show friend Craig, and unfortunately I was going to try to get him a bag set. Anyway, getting a bag set and wants to sell their October Guard, hit up our buddy Craig over the Fuchsia gas because he's looking for it. I was unfortunately unable to deliver. Here's some completed auctions. The bag set did sell. There was a sold bag set for $600. Box set, $700.
Whoa. Damn. Bag set for $6 makes the box set for $7 look like a value.
Yes, it does. Stormovic, $90. Colonel Brekoff, $80.
Those are completed auctions.
These are sold buy it nows.
Good God.
Yeah, I know it's weird because the speculator market across the board in comics and toys and everything kind of fell off there in the 2000s. It seems to be picking up again. I know comic speculation's on the rise again with things like The Walking Dead. If you've got original early issues from that, they're going for $300 a pop.
Here's one. Last year's convention set, 2011, boxed, sold, buy it now, a grrr.
Oh, wow.
A grrr.
I'm just going to quit my job and just wait for the con to come around every year.
Yeah, for real.
I'll just take 50 convention sets, and that'll be my year's income.
Travis, the thing why the speculator market picked up again is because it's finally rare again.
Right.
You know, it used to be that they'd pump out all these repaints and separate covers, and it was like, oh, people will buy this, they'll eat this stuff up. You were kind of putting the horse before the cart. When you make rarities that aren't rare, they're not going to be worth anything, and people are going to quit buying them all.
Well, there you go. Completed auctions. Insane. Wow. Insane. I could only imagine what this is going to look like about 23 days from now.
Yeah.
Ooh.
When eBay blows up on the Joe side, oh, like I said, you're going to see a lot of hotel backgrounds as the background for a lot of these pictures taken for eBay.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Neither do I.
My eBay handle totally is not General's Joe's. Actually, it's not. It's General Hawk, but never mind.
Three more guests have been announced for JoeCon: Larry Selman, Rod Wiggum, and our friend Kirk Bazigian. Larry Selman, of course, does a lot of art for the club in terms of their posters, package art, what have you. Really knockout stuff. Rod Wiggum, of course, everybody remembers as an artist from the 80s comic book with Marvel. Kirk Bazigian, of course, a name everybody remembers as the head of the line back in the glory days.
He's Law.
And, of course, he's Law, but I maintain that Law is, in fact,
Johnny Bench.
Red's great Johnny Bench.
These aren't any real surprises here. They were in the brochure. It is just confirmation. Doesn't it look like, unfortunately, some of the favorites that we've seen at cons in the past are going to show up at this one? But don't let that be a determining factor of whether it's going to be a fun time or not.
It means longer autograph lines at the What's On Joe Mind table.
My understanding is that noted author James Cavanaugh has created a placard and a spot at his table for noted podcast personality Chuck Dog 1999.
Nice.
So he's expecting him to show up.
I want all of you to sign my chest.
I was going to say, yeah, $5 done. And I sign your boob.
Done.
Did you shave?
$7.50, I'll get a little nipple in there, too.
Did you wax? Ooh.
Oh, no.
Oh, damn.
I will.
Oh, okay. I'm totally signing.
I use James as waxing kit.
George waxes up for the big occasion.
Be like a seal.
Oh, no.
Oh, goodness. I threw up a little in my mouth there. But, Gary, I understand you've got a late-breaking tidbit on the current or just-released club newsletter for May.
Yeah, this is funny. I just got the May newsletter a couple Saturdays ago, and it's been so many more important things have kind of popped up. This has been swept under the rug. And it's funny thing is I get this today. We're going to put this on today's show. And then I think some friends of the show were reporting that June is now arriving to a lot of folks. Basically, the thing here, and again, not reading directly, but there is an update on the FSS. Everything is still being developed. They'll just keep you updated online, so just keep watching the website for news on this and other projects. But their number one goal, according to the newsletter, and this is Brian's intel, was to get registration out of the way first and then move on to the FSS. We were thinking that maybe happening at the same time. Thankfully, that's not going to happen. And if I read this, it looks like they want to turn their attention really toward CON. I would be willing to bet that we probably see FSS registration after CON, and I think that's a huge relief to a lot of people that are spending a lot of money right now, and they just weren't looking for the double whammy.
Yep. I think that's probably true. And that's probably
are we taking credit for that one?
Sure. You want to give us credit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks to What's On Joe Mind, they have decided not to stack the FSS on top of registration.
Beachhead Mike credits us.
Yes, you're welcome. We will do anything for you, the fans.
I need babysitter Friday night.
Chuck is available.
Ooh.
No, it's not. Chuck's got scouts Friday night. He is not available. Justin is available.
I beg your pardon? I have my own little to watch. I don't need to deal with it.
Roll your kids on in with Justin's kids, and we'll sort them out after the evening's done, and you'd be good. That's how we roll. We don't get caught up in the labels, only when we're assigning credit to ourselves.
Yeah.
That's it for the news desk. And a fandom in crisis.
Their world in crisis.
And that's all the news from Beachhead Mike and What's On Joe Mind.
Latte, three sugars, boy. Chop, chop.
Yes, Mr. Mike.
Hey, you guys feeling like playing a game?
Well, yeah.
Always.
I don't know if you guys heard the news, but mainstay of 80s game show television, Richard Dawson, recently passed away.
The greatest ever.
Yes.
Richard Dawson.
And Hogan's Heroes.
Running Man.
Probably old favorite game shows as a child, Family Feud. And so to celebrate that, what we're going to do is play Family Feud, the Stump Chuck Edition. And so what we've done is I have polled all of the hosts, except Chuck.
He doesn't count.
He's a contestant, so he can't know the answers, right? I mean, it's the same thing. I'm not stacking the deck against him. We surveyed all six of us
to hell
on what our top three concepts are. So, 6 people surveyed, top 3 answers on the board. Here's a question. Top 3 concepts by your co-hosts and guests on this program. Go ahead, first guess.
Okay. Now, do these have to be in order of like 1, 2, 3 or 3, 2, 1?
Nope. It's just like Family Feud. Anytime you answer one right, we'll tell you and you can go on to the next question. But remember, you only have 3 strikes.
Okay.
There'll be a happy sound effect when you get one right and a not so happy sound all effect right when you get one wrong.
Have you never watched Family Feud, Chuck?
I have, but I couldn't remember, all right? You can kiss my ass, Justin.
I would like to point out that Richard Dawson always kissed the contestants when they came up to the buzzer.
Come here, Chuck.
Hey, so what do you want to do? You want to slip some tongue there, Travis?
I'm not hosting.
Well, George is freshly waxed.
he can choke on his golden ticket, that scalper.
Wow, there's like rage going on here.
Wow, cutting deep, man.
Now we're doing the convention set, not the attendee exclusives, right?
This is the box set.
Box set. All right.
Nothing else.
My first guess. Vacation in the Shadows.
The survey says...
Son of a...
Chuck, you got 2 strikes left. Top 3 answers on the board. What is the top 3 concepts as by your co-hosts and guests of this program?
Mars Invades.
Survey says...
All right.
That's number 2. Number 2. All right, all Chuck. Right.
Woo-hoo. All right.
Number 2?
Very good, Chuck. You now have 1 answer on the board. 2 left, 2 strikes.
2. What the hell is wrong with you people? That was the best onset ever.
Clearly, the survey did not say that, Jeff. So you, sir, may go scratch.
I have a couple ideas, and it's like...
Only ask one at a time.
I know, but it's like, if I'm wrong, then I only have 1, and...
3 seconds.
Okay, I'm ready. Mission Brazil 2.
Show me Mission Brazil 2! That is number 3! That is number 3! Yes. So the top answer is left on the board. Chuck, the count is in your favor. You have 2 strikes to go, 1 answer to go. Will the Chuck be stumped this time? 1 answer left. Chuck, what is it?
All right. I have 2 thoughts.
You can only ask one.
I know. Cobra's Most Wanted, The Mercenaries.
Cobra Most Wanted, The Mercenaries, says...
Now we're at some death.
Now the deuces are wild here.
All right. Well, no. I have 1 more guess. To be honest, if this isn't it, then I'm completely lost.
All right. What is it?
Dreadnought Rampage.
Show me Dreadnought Rampage.
Yeah. Oh, Chuck.
Oh, go scratch. You know what? You can all kiss my ass, and I expect tongue in the. Because you know what? I did better than any of you even consider. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're the shut-in that does that. Hey, George, let me clue you into something. The Herb joke, maybe you don't watch enough Family Guy. That got done about 3 weeks ago when Herb came into the house with a shotgun and took Chris because Quahog did away with all its government. So...
Chuck is taking this serious now.
No, because I know you guys do this to expect me to look bad. But you know what? Boom. When I first got back with the shows, I used to sit in my mom's office because they had high-speed cable, and I read all of Justin's reviews for the convention sets. So,
All right, Chuck, even though you lost, you want to give another guess of what might be the number 1 answer?
You know, Gary, I'll be honest with you. In my opinion, you know, those were like the what I said were like really the best convention sets. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and say something like Tanks for the Memories.
Show me Tanks for the Memories.
Oh, wait.
So close.
But that's like one of the most hated convention sets. You never got the tanks for it. You never, I mean...
The box set. The box set was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, they're not talking about the attendee exclusives with the tanks. They're just talking about the box set.
Figures I heard about that box set were the black Cobra Trooper and the female ninja Cobra Ninjas.
No, it's female Cobra Trooper.
Yes.
And all the Joes were basically original 13s with the exception of Doc and Sparks, but they were still pretty damn awesome by themselves.
Yeah, those were the strongest Joes I've seen in a concept. Yeah. I love that.
Really? People love the Thanks for the Memory set. It's because those tanks didn't come out. That's what fuels a lot of the fire with those tanks, is that they love that set and they really wanted the tanks.
Oh, all right. You know, Justin, between you and me, even though you're a shithead like the rest of them, if I wasn't that we were playing like three strikes and you're out, I would have thrown in the Headhunters just to say the Headhunters.
Thank you.
Show me Headhunters.
No, it's not there. I know.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you guys have no taste.
I will say that I did give this quiz to Debbie before coming on the show, and she got it in 4 guesses.
Wow.
Yeah, the one incorrect one is she guessed the 2002 Crimson Strike team, and actually that didn't show up on any of our surveys, so, but there you go.
Hi, Debbie, the only woman that listens to the show.
I think Dreadnought Rampage, I think, was number 4, if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, it was actually up there, unfortunately. That was a pretty bad set, but...
That was
horrible.
Billy Bob, Cletus, Joe Bob, yeah.
All the Dreadnought titans that just happen to look just like each other?
Yeah.
Come on now. A G.I. Joe set that crosses with the Patty Duke show? That's so bad, it's awesome.
And don't forget one of that exclusive. They had the trailer.
Forget the trailer.
Man.
That was fantastic. I loved it.
The Airstream trailer, yes.
Loved it.
Well, that is this edition of the Family Feud Stump Chuck edition. We have a beautiful parting gift of absolutely nothing for you, Chuck. And we'll catch you the next time.
Neat stuff.
We'll catch you the next time when we have the next edition of Stump Chuck.
Yeah. And I would like to say, as a closing word, I just like to say, if Arun Singh, our good friend from Marvel, was here, whatever 3 guesses he would have picked would have been right, because Arun is always right. Boom. Pipe bomb.
Jesus. I don't know what that was.
You feel better?
He's the boy.
It's now time for shoutouts and what we got in this week. This segment of What's On Joe Mind is brought to you by BountyHunterToys.com. BountyHunterToys.com is one of the largest independently owned online vintage toy dealers in Canada. Check out BountyHunterToys.com for their wide selections of all things G.I. Joe, as well as Star Wars, Wrestling, He-Man, and Transformers. Need cash? BountyHunterToys.com buys your old toys and trades also. Check them out at BountyHunterToys.com. Like them on Facebook for a 10% discount code and follow them on Twitter today, BountyHunterToys.com. More fun than a poke in the eye. Chuck, what'd you get in this week?
I actually did get something this week, and it was, we talked about it a little last week, and I do have the video recorded for the review. I just have to edit and put it up, but I got the Battle Kata Blaster.
Cool.
I gotta say, this is a lot of fun. Right off the bat, the darts that come with it aren't even darts. They are actually solid plastic missiles that, if I'm not mistaken, look like the missiles that come with the Ghost Hawk 2.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes.
I'll give you $5 if you turn around right now and shoot Barbara.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
I don't know.
No, it's got to happen live on the show.
Well,
Chuck.
No, yeah. Wait, let me explain. I can't do it, and the reason I can't do it is, I guess Hasbro knew what they were doing by putting these little missiles with it. The spring in the gun is like the weakest I have ever seen.
Do you have the Ghost Hawk 2?
No, I don't, actually. Not yet.
If you had it, you would have seen that those spring-loaded missiles are actually tandemed.
What do you mean tandemed, Gary?
They're attached.
They're attached to each other. When you fire from one launcher, you fire both at the same time, and they're attached.
Ah. Going to pull out one of the launchers that comes with a 3 3/4-inch figure just to see if it would fit. Because, I mean, it even has that little notch, and the mechanism in the gun works the same way. But I had Chinese knockoff dart launchers when I was a kid, and this spring is even weaker than that. But other than that, the play feature with pulling off the knuckle guard, slapping it on into the clip, pulling out the blade. Interesting thing about the blade is that it is not entirely hollow. About 3/4 of the way down, you do get a solid core. So if I can just send something out to the parents who are listening who might be buying this for their kid, just make sure that you know, as the box says, because even the box, it doesn't warn you about shooting. It warns you about the stabbing and swinging, because that knife does have a little bit of weight to it.
I was going to say, all I care about, Chuck, will it work as a shiv?
It is. I actually do touch upon this in my video. It is a little bit bigger than prison regulation shivs, but if you're going to convention, you want to come up behind, say, George with his golden ticket, who just scalped out the last of the 10D bonus sets, and you just want to come up behind him, hey, it'll work. Tell him Chuck sent you. And maybe if you can't do like a little, sweet, is he like a fail old man? I can't do it, but I'm sure somebody out there can. Tell him it's from Chuck.
George, man, he has given you the business.
I'm sorry, I wasn't even listening. What?
George likes it when Chuck sneaks up on him from behind.
I did put up a video review for the Captain America Brigade Blaster, and I have to tell you, I was having Barbara hold the camera. I had for this and the Battle Cotta Blaster. That is the last time I have her hold the camera.
Oh, Barb's on the production crew, huh?
See, here's the thing. About halfway through, she starts making these odd noises. Like, and she's completely... It's like, you hear her, she's like...
What the?
I know.
What kind of show are you shooting?
At the end, it sounds like she's trying to push out a large.
Sound like that to me, but anyways,
yeah.
I mean, I had to put up a disclaimer. It was the
you
whole
keep that in your family.
Chuck Dog 1999. After Hours.
Yeah, well, if you guys want to have a quick laugh, go pop that video. It's only about 3-4 minutes long, and you get to see my lovely face, because it's a role-play toy, so I have to be on camera with it.
I don't know if I want to see you and your sister role-playing, Chuck.
Okay, but that's all I got in this week.
All rise for this week's honoring of the Figure Subscription Service.
Figure Subscription Service, you are not forgotten. Your time is coming. Soon. Really soon. Like, maybe a month or two soon. That's really soon when you think about it. This week, we single out one member of your elite team. One figure from the group. And that is Agent Jinx. Agent Jinx, you encompass everything that makes up a fanboy's dream. You're a female. You're a ninja. That's about all. If you were a woman in a bar, and I came up to you, not only would you turn me down, but you would also kick me in the gut. That's okay. I can take it.
Because they're hanging over his balls.
I like a woman with a little spunk.
Oh. Okay, that's a... Yeah. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, sometimes you just gotta let them write themselves.
Man, like the third time he's on our Jinx, I think he has a little yellow fever.
Jinx.
Oh my god. You
what
cannot
the hell did you invite me to?
You cannot put that on the air.
You must put that on the air. There's no choice.
What on the air? Yellow fever. You cannot put that on the air.
I thought you were talking about the spunk. The spunk's got to go on the air.
Yeah, spunk's
spunk
got to go.
Fine. Spunk is great.
Yeah, spunk,
yellow,
spunk
no
is,
problem there. But
you know, I was going for Mary Tyler Moore type of thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Floats your boat.
All right, well.
That it, Chuck?
That's it, Gary. Let's
oh,
move
dear
along.
God.
Jesus, let's hope that's it.
Oh, let's get one of our guests here. Trav. Trav, what'd you get in this week? Got any shout-outs or anything?
Anything with spunk?
Lord, I hope not. I did buy a Night Attack chopper and Crimson Attack chopper off of eBay. It was
sticky
when it arrived, I guess.
What'd you get them for?
$15 a piece plus shipping, so $45 total.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good deal. So, kid's been having a ball with them, so. That's the big purchase of the week. Got a few Retaliation toys, pleasantly surprised. Quiet week Joe-wise, I guess.
Excellent, excellent. George, what'd you get this week? Any shout-outs?
I got pretty much, I guess, the bulk of the Retaliation stuff. So I have to admit, does anyone else like the Swamp Viper? I can't put this thing down, and I feel kind of dirty. It's like I'm cheating on my wife with the paraplegic supermodel down the street. And
I request that sound bite.
You got it.
Karen's not going to be in New Orleans, is she?
No, damn shame. Not, no.
Damn shame.
It's a good thing they're not holding the paraplegic supermodel convention in the same hotel.
Or are they? No, I love this. I love this figure, and I don't know. Does anyone else like this thing, or it's, I don't know. I feel weird to actually like it.
I like the vehicle. I think the vehicle's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But, sorry.
It looks cool, but yeah, the 5 points of articulation just kill it.
Kill it. Oh, yeah, it does.
It's fine as a lump of plastic sitting in the cockpit, I guess.
That's what she said.
There we go. I was wondering when someone was going to say something. Okay.
Thanks for the support, Travis.
Yeah.
Do what I can.
Mike, what do you got this week?
What do I got this week? I don't know if I got the Retaliation Ninja Dojo 3-pack in time for last week's broadcast or not. I don't remember if I gave that the shout-out or not.
Oh, what
there,
the
but,
hell? Go ahead and tell us about it again.
But okay. It's pretty awesome. I like it. I like it a lot. I like Kamakura. I especially like Beachhead. I'll even tolerate the Roadblock figure in there with his single knees. I'm still waiting for Wave 2 Roadblock to really be happy about Roadblock. Pretty awesome. Got a Zartan. Really enjoying that figure. Have not bought too much of the rest. Been kind of waiting them out again. Wave 2 was really what I was looking for, and here in the St. Louis area, there I have not seen hide nor hair of an army builder. Not a whole lot on my plate in terms of Retaliation. Shout-outs, of course, our sponsors, Bounty Hunter Toys, Kokomo Toys, JoeArmory.com, the folks at Rollout Roll Call, the folks at Canadian JoeCon. Thank you for all you do for our program. Of course, a quick shout-out to all of our listeners. Thank you for taking the time that you take to waste with us as we prattle on endlessly about things like spunk and George cheating on his wife with paraplegic supermodels.
Can't keep my hands off.
Well, who can blame you, really?
And she can't either.
It's not like they can fight back, right?
Oh, God. Thank you again for joining us for our very special last episode. Oh, I really wouldn't have thought Justin would be the one to absolutely kill the show.
He doesn't get out much, remember that.
This is true. He is up in Vermont or someplace like that that's really got nothing but trees with strategically placed knot holes, if he's lucky.
Right off the rails here. What's
he doing? He's...
Broke Mike. Thanks, George. Thanks, George. You finally broke Mike.
You are so welcome.
Mike, bend over, put your head between your legs. You got to make sure you put the oxygen in.
No, if he could do that, he'd never leave the house.
Real. I might not leave the house anyway. I get to doing this, I might find I like it. A shout-out to our special guests, Travis and George, from the Moderately Geeky podcast. Be sure to check them out. Where are you guys found?
You can find the Moderately Geeky podcast at moderatelygeeky.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes. I guess Jay's not here, so we better plug Carded Heroes, right?
Eh. CardedHeroes.com, yay.
Yeah, whatever.
But again, thank you, gentlemen, and I think that's all I've got, Gary.
Justin, how do you follow that?
I don't know if I can. Sorry, I'm making some syrup. I'll be right back.
He's got to cork that maple tree hole. Save some for next time.
I'll bring a bottle down to New Orleans for you, Mark, if you want.
It's okay. That's all right.
Vermont Natural.
I'll give you $20 if you give one to Jason.
Yeah, that'd be worth it.
Oh, man. Anyway, I didn't really get a whole lot this week. I pretty much spent all my G.I. Joe money last week making the rounds and getting some Retaliation stuff, getting stocked up on the single packs and the three packs and so on and so forth. Actually, you know what? Did I do my road trip since the last week's episode? I don't remember.
No, go ahead. If you want to go ahead and report it again, that's fine. I think you said you were going down, so I think your chance to report on the Cummings back.
Yeah, I took kind of a big road trip down to Nashua, New Hampshire, through Manchester, New Hampshire, Concord, New Hampshire area, which is a little way south of me and kind of where you find all the retail stores, and actually had some really, really good luck. I saw Retaliation stuff pretty much everywhere. Saw Blue Cobra Commanders, Blue Joe Troopers, Tan Joe Troopers, Black Cobra Commanders, 3-packs galore, Bravo vehicles galore, Alpha vehicles all over the place. pretty much whatever Retaliation stuff was reported being released, I saw it on my trips and saw it in multiple places. From what I can see, people who are looking for the blue Cobra Commander or the blue cape Joe Trooper, check your Toys R Us. Saw some of those at each of the three Toys R Us's I stopped at. They all had that blue Cobra Commander and those blue caped Cobra Troopers. Target seemed to be the place to find the tan cape Joe Troopers. It was kind of a weird mix. Like, I didn't find much at all at Walmart. The Walmarts I stopped at were pretty vacant. Target had black Cobra Commanders and tan Joe Troopers, and Toys R Us had the blue, like I mentioned. But yeah, I got both of the three packs, even though I swore I wasn't going to get them. I ended up getting them anyway, because I'm weak. And got a few more Joe Troopers, a few more Red Ninjas, various stuff like that. It was a good trip. You know, I haven't bought stuff at retail very often, so it was kind of cool just to pop in some stores and actually see stuff there for sale and be able to pick it up and buy it. Toys R Us had, you know, buy one, get one 50% off sales, so all the better. Made out pretty well. I did want to give a shout out as well to Kenny, who's a guy I talked to quite a bit on Twitter. His Twitter handle, I believe, is Kenny2274. He works for Target, and he's been reporting in on the success of G.I. Joe sales, and apparently last week he kind of did a roundup of Target industry-wide, chain-wide. This is for all of the Target stores. G.I. Joe Retaliation figures outsold Batman, Spider-Man, and Men in Black. In fact, outsold those three all
combined. And Avengers.
Yes. G.I. Joe numbers were about 15,000 units sold, 14,998. The reason I'm kind of comparing these specifically to Batman and Spider-Man is that, you know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, G.I. Joe had a big new toy launch. Well, so did Batman, and so did Spider-Man. They both really had big toy launches. Spider-Man, a lot of the stores reset with the Amazing Spider-Man toy line, and a lot of stores reset with the Dark Knight Returns / animated Batman toy lines. So these three lines all kind of hit at once, and G.I. Joe sold 14,998 units chain-wide for Target. Batman sold 8,099. Spider-Man sold 5,180. Men in Black sold 553. I don't have the actual numbers for the Avengers sales, but essentially G.I. Joe alone outsold all three of those other lines combined.
Funny thing there is that everyone complains about they took articulation away from the Joe figures,
yeah,
and they're still better.
Oh, they're a hell of a lot better.
The other figures, the other lines, with the exception of an Avenger figure here and there,
yeah,
the other lines suck.
Yeah, yeah.
Suck.
The figures, even without double jointed knees and without ankle articulation, still look miles better than any of the 4-inch Batman figures or the Spider-Man figures. They look a ton better. It's amazing what the difference.
They're even better than Men in Black. I mean, they're just all those lines. I look at them and I go, man, these are just horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, they're clearly the best-looking action figures on shelves in that scale, I think. Kudos to Kenny for kind of keeping us in the loop with that. I'm very glad he's letting us know what sales are like. And keep in mind, this is just Target. Very good returns by the sound of it. Very strong G.I. Joe sales for this first release week, which is awesome news. The fact that it's outselling Batman, Spider-Man, and Men in Black all put together is pretty significant. And Kenny did say, I believe, that it also outsold Avengers. I don't have the actual numbers for that.
They are the number two toy retailer in America, and sometimes they're even arguably number one, so that's pretty significant.
That is very significant. So yeah, I definitely had to give a shout out to Kenny for that, for sharing that good news. Also, I got to give a shout out to John Shu as well. Just big thanks from me to him for kind of keeping us in the loop and letting us know what's going on, at least letting us in that door a little bit to kind of keep our enthusiasm up, keep our optimism up. It's been kind of dark days the past couple of weeks for the G.I. Joe community, so we'll take any kind of little tidbits of good news we can get. So thanks for that, John.
My shout-outs real quick again to the club. Looks like we got some good momentum going into New Orleans. Looking forward to seeing you guys. Looking forward to a good show. Also echo John Chu to the cast of the movie. Again, we've never lost faith in you. Keep up the good work. Also to the Hasbro teams, again, we know it's not your fault. Keep your chin up and see what you can deliver for us for 2013. We're hoping for a strong 2013. Couple podcast shout outs pointed out to me by TFGI Mike over at Geekcast Radio Network that the Animation Aficionados podcast number 81, apparently they were running our old ad with Greg for a long time and they really enjoyed it. They actually just kind of picked it up on their own because they said, just listening to it, they said it was funny. They were saddened that we had to retire that one. But the new one now features, of course, the dulcet tones of one Beachhead Mike. So we hope you like that
Hello,
one.
Hello, ladies.
Yeah, we changed it up a little bit. So hopefully you guys like that one, too. We appreciate you guys running our ad and the shout-out. Also, speaking of the Geekcast Radio Network, at the first of this month, they celebrated their third year in existence. So happy birthday, happy anniversary to you guys.
Woo! Woo!
terms of what I got this week, really nothing much to speak of. I found a couple Red Ninjas, like I said, to complete my Red Ninja army building, but that's it. I think it's pretty much, well, I don't think, I know, because my wife told me, it's pretty much lockdown.
The boss has spoken.
Dude, she knows when I spend money. Mike can back me up on that, and the woman works for the bank. I think she has some special alert set up that any time that that credit card or that PayPal hits that account somehow, she knows she within seconds.
She balances those accounts in her sleep.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, I'm pretty much on lockdown until con. And hey, that's just all more money to go drink with the fellas. So that's all I have to say about that.
Gary is actually frisked for Joe's when he enters the house every night, sometimes not by request.
I'm ashamed at where I have to hide him sometimes.
You're not ashamed. You're not ashamed.
I think he kind of likes it when Debbie goes looking for him.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Getting hot in there, dude.
I've known Gary a long time. He's not ashamed.
There's just a smile on my face all the time.
He's a happy boy.
I am a happy guy.
That's it for this episode. You can talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. You can call or text us at 262-515-9656. Just because the show is over doesn't mean the fun ends. Join us on Twitter during the week. Head on over to our Podbean site and find our Twitter profiles on the right-hand side of the page. As always, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Host bios, community forum threads, and archive episodes, along with everything else with our show, can be found on our webpage, whatsonjoemind.podbean.com. Visit and bookmark it today. Download our show at iTunes, InsidePulse.com, and Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it for free in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's On Your Mind, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. Check out GeekCastRadio.com for other great podcast shows such as Movie Week in Review, GCRN Retro, Tooncast Beyond, and Mass Mayhem. Go to GeekCastRadio.com and unleash the geek in you today.
Next week, we'll be joined by Don Anderson of TNI and the Crappy Computer Brigade to talk to us about the Brigade, its yearly meeting at JoeCon, and how you can be a part of it as we continue on the road to New Orleans. I'd like to thank our guests, George and Travis. Guys, thanks. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It was great. Had a great time. I enjoyed breaking Mike down, and yeah, it was pretty much worth it for that reason alone. So.
Build me back up again with your strong hands, George.
You can count them. Just think of the scene from Ghosts.
VidCon.
Oh.
Trav, you want to follow that one up?
I don't know if I want to touch it, but thanks for having us on, guys. This is fun talking, Joe.
And you want to touch it, Travis.
Other stuff. Yeah, I can't wait to see you guys all in September up at CoilCon.
Oh, awesome. We'll look forward to seeing you there, and we're pretty sure that right now Mr. Hunger has sand in his crotch somewhere, I'm sure. So he missed out on a good time. So too bad, Jay.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
So please give my regards to Don for next week.
Yes.
If your brigade is awesome, if you're going to the con, make sure to tune in.
So for our showrunner, Chuck, co-host Justin and Mike, I'm Gary Sands, all our men and women serving. God bless, Godspeed, and come home safe. Good night, folks, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week in the next episode of What's On Joe Mind, the official podcast of the 2012 Canadian Joe Con. See you in New Orleans.
See ya.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
YouTube.com/truckload.